one of the Psalms, it says that God dwells in the praises of Israel. And more broadly, that means he dwells in the praises of the church, his people, the body of Christ, all who turn to him. In Revelation, it says that he will tabernacle among us, that he will make a tent, if you would, and dwell in it with us. A little child here speaking in tongues. That's kind of cool. You never know. One of the things that I believe is true as this church heads into new life, to a new resurrection, is that there will be signs and wonders, but even when not requested, I believe that in the praises of God's people, people will be healed. That there will be change that happens in lives here simply as we praise him. And I would encourage anyone who has been timid or maybe self-conscious about really entering into praise in our song, in our prayers, even in moments of silence, that in this new resurrection, as we begin to take wing, we leave behind things which have held us down. And that self-consciousness, that wariness, that fear of looking silly, as I might enter into praise, is one of those things. Let's leave it behind. It weighs us down. It does nothing. And I believe this, that for many who have feared entering into praise or who have entered timidly, when praise is entered fully, healing will happen. That's never even been suspected or known to be needed. And yet it will come. Doug had a word for us a few weeks ago that we were no longer to refer to this as a small church. In fact, we used to have a sign that said, "This is a small church, but there's always room for you." And we've changed that so that it just says, "There's always room for you in this church." Sometimes I think when we look at ourselves at this church, what we see are the 5 barley loaves and the 2 fish. How can we possibly feed even what we have here, much less anyone else, with what little we have? But this, if this is truly the body of Christ, if we are the hands and hearts of Jesus in this world, then can he not do the same miracle here that he did with those crowds that gathered and really, really needed to be fed? I mentioned last week the end of Ephesians 3 and all of Ephesians 4. The end of Ephesians 3 says this: "May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love, and may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love really is." May you experience the love of Christ, though it is so great, you will never fully understand it. Then you will be filled with the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now glory be to God by His mighty power at work within us. He is able to accomplish infinitely more than we would ever dare to ask or hope. I only have 5 loaves. I only have 2 fish. I'm insufficient. We're insufficient. We don't have enough. We hurt too much. We're insufficient. By His mighty power, His mighty power at work within us, He is able to accomplish infinitely more than we would ever dare to ask or hope. Now, either that's true or it isn't. If it isn't, it's time to go home. There's no point in gathering together here. It's a waste of time. If it's true, then we need to own it. We need to invest ourselves fully in it. We need to believe it. We need to ask God to show us how His power works in us and through us to do infinitely more than we could ever dare to ask or hope. And then may He be given glory in the church. Glory. Glory means weight and significance.
Yes.
That's what the word means. The weight of the presence of God and the significance of the presence of God and what that accomplishes. That's why I'm not just blowing smoke when I say, if we will worship, if we will step into worship, the signs and wonders will follow. When we are in the presence of God, naked, with nothing to bring, nothing to offer, but there fully, in the presence of God, His presence changes us, changes circumstance, changes futures. A future we might have thought was certain, inevitable, vanishes like a mist. And the future He desires, far beyond what we could dare to ask or imagine, takes its place. Either we believe what we are told or we don't. If we don't, let's just go home. If we do, let's really believe it. Let's live like we believe it. Let's live it. And then may He be given glory in the church and in Jesus Christ forever and ever through endless ages. I had a friend, a priest, many, many years ago, who said, I think in the church we talk about eternal life as some sort of prize that is ours at the end of this life. And that's completely wrong. Eternal life begins now.
Amen.
When we become one of His, eternal life has already begun. It isn't a reward coming later. This is eternal life. You want to know what life is like with the saints in heaven? This is it. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I got to spend it with you. And you got to spend it with me. We ought to start living like that's the reality. Mary says, this is as good as it gets. Actually, this is pretty good. They have. So, I honestly believe that there is new resurrection, new life coming to this church. It is now.
It's now.
It's now. And it means that we leave behind things that keep us on the ground, keep us on free, keep us bound. You know, the idea of forgiveness in Scripture, what it means is to release a legitimate claim. That's what forgiveness means. It doesn't mean to approve what somebody has done. If somebody has hurt me and I say, I forgive you, it doesn't mean your hurting me was okay. When someone hurts me, I have a legitimate claim in justice against them. Forgiveness means to release that claim, as legitimate as it is. And by the way, God had legitimate claims on us.
Yes, he did.
For ways in which we hurt Him and hurt His creatures and hurt the world that He made. And though He had a legitimate claim and we did nothing to pay the price of that claim, He forgave us. He released a legitimate claim and set us free. That's why Jesus in the Lord's Prayer teaches us to pray that we are to forgive others as we've been forgiven. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Releasing legitimate claims. Almost certainly, there are people here in this room today who might be here on other Sundays but are absent today, who are angry with me for any of a number of things. Failure to do something, inability to do something, words that I've spoken that I shouldn't have spoken, something that I've done that I shouldn't have done, legitimate claims. And to be honest, I have some of those legitimate claims against some of you all. Now, I have the choice. I can hang on to that legitimate claim and let it poison my soul. Let it grow bitterness in me, wormwood, if you would. Or I can choose to release a legitimate claim. I can choose to forgive where I have been hurt. And not only does that set free the person I have forgiven, it also sets me free. Because the bonds that we had because of the injury and the claim, that legitimate claim is like something which ties me to you. That's the other way that word is used in the Greek. To forgive means to cut a cord. The cord that binds me to the person against whom I have a legitimate claim, or the person who has a legitimate claim against me. When we forgive, that cord is cut. And there is freedom. And so if the symbol of this new emerging resurrection is like a monarch butterfly emerging from a chrysalis, unless the cords wound around it, tying it down, are cut, it can never fly. And so I would ask everyone here, myself included, where I have a root of bitterness, where I have raging bitterness, where I have anger or distrust, unhappiness because of failure to complete something promised, whatever that claim is, may each of us in our hearts this day forgive the claims we have. Set aside the bitterness, anger, distress, grief, whatever it is. May we do as Jesus told us to do and forgive those who have trespassed against us. And also experience the forgiveness of those we've trespassed against. May this day, this moment, this place be the beginning of release from all which has held us down, because we forgive as we have been forgiven. And may we then step wholeheartedly into the praise of the one who forgave us first and who taught us how to forgive. And I promise in that praise, lives will change, loaves will be multiplied, fish will be multiplied. The life of this congregation will be made new in ways far beyond what we could dare to ask or imagine. And the excitement which will grow here will not be my excitement trying to give it to you. There isn't enough of it.
Amen.
I promise. But it will be your excitement rising from a freed heart, freed by forgiving, freed by being given forgiveness, standing in praise and awe and wonder at a God who could be so great and so loving to have done this for us at great cost to Him, at no cost to us. Praise God. Amen.
In a moment, we're going to say the confession.